I've got to tear the wall down. It's the evil.
I'm Austin.
And I'm Cloud.
And this is... We Watch Spookies.
Today's movie is The Amityville Horror. The Amityville Horror is a 1979 supernatural horror film directed by Stuart Rosenberg, starring James Brolin, Margot Kidder, Rod Steiger, Don Stroud, and Murray Hamilton. How about that synopsis?
Well, after a family is murdered by the oldest son, a year passes, and a new family, consisting of husband, wife, two boys, one girl, move into said house. And then weird things and flies happen. Including a father and a nun getting sick, and he lost his eyesight, and a friend of some kind's wife knows about people offering people to demons and stuff, and they leave the house in the rain after saving the dog.
And they never returned. The text at the end tells us. They never return to reclaim their house or their belongings. Which, it says as if it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Which, this is another one of those that claims kind of to be sort of a thing that might have actually happened.
They're kind of based off a true story.
Well, what they are based off of is a novel. Yeah. Which claims to kind of be based off of a thing that might have actually happened. Although... I mean, or maybe not, although, because they back in the 70s, especially, they used to make a super big deal out of this was based on a book and it sold a ton of books on the poster for the movie. And this one also does. And it says, from the bestseller that made millions believe in the unbelievable. It's like, did it really? Like, why? Why would it make you believe anything? It's a novel.
It's the late 70s.
So, I mean, it wasn't any better in the, slightly less late 70s or early 70s? When was, I guess early mid 70s was Exorcist, right? It was like 74 or something.
Something like that.
Which claims to kind of be based on a thing that sort of kind of happened. I guess people kind of believed that too. Although both of these are related in such a way as that they, like, there's no exorcism in this, but there's a whole lot of like Catholic Church relatedness, even though yeah. They never make a point of what it actually is or anything. She guesses about that it's spirits from like witchcraft or devil worship or something, and the priest screams about
the heebie-jeebies.
Similar things to the other priests. And
well, okay, so I do want.
And there's like a room with red brick in it for some reason.
And because the brick's all painted red and it looks dumb, but it's like.
But red is evil.
Okay, so whenever the father who went to bless the house but was like attacked by said. Ghost, spirit, demon thingies,
mm-hmm.
and
which talks to him. It's the only he's the only one that it ever talks to.
Yeah, like outright.
Well, I guess the son that killed the other family says that he heard a voice or voices.
Yeah, but we didn't hear that part.
Yeah.
We just heard it. Get out! I don't know why, but that's what we got.
I don't know because I don't know power of Christ or something
compels you. So that happens. Okay, that's fine. But then he's, in conflict with, like, two other fathers who don't believe him.
Three, actually. There's three in that room.
No, I'm saying there's only two because the one was with him. He's not really, he was just there. But it's the other two who don't believe him. And it's just like, you can just be like, well, fine. If you don't believe me, you just go to that house. And then you tell me I'm full of shit.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't know about the... Aunt Nun, but yeah.
Which is later, but it's one of those things where it's like, I go to this house to bless this house, and creepy shit happens, and now I feel terrible, and I'm trying to explain to these two guys that I felt evil, and they're like, yeah, nah, brah, like, it's just in your head, because you old and shit. It's like...
Oh, that's something else, because he's also a psychologist or something, he says. I mean, that doesn't come into play at all.
No.
The way that it does in The Exorcist, but it's also... another priest that's also a psychologist that also encounters evil, so...
And it's just like, just tell him, like, if you don't believe me, that's fine. But you go to the house, you experience it. If you experience nothing, then okay, nothing happened to you, and I can't defend this stance anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But it just, it comes to nothing. It's a scene that I don't know how it plays off in the book, because I never read the book, but for the movie... The whole thing around the father, father, what's his face? Mill something?
Was it? I don't remember.
Like, none of it is of any importance for the movie. Like, him going blind, like, what's up with that?
I don't know, because it happens. I'm really confused as to how the evil works, because it seems to also be able to do stuff off-site, and I don't know if it's once you've been to the house then you're marked or something and it can continue to touch you, but
like Ju-on,
it messes with him. It like it wrecks the car or tries to wreck the car,
and it's always addressed as flies.
Yeah, there's always flies, which the new husband says flies in the wrong time of year or something.
Yeah.
Although, like, I've never lived in that part of the country, but there's kind of fly, like, you know, flies are worse in the summer and stuff, but there's always flies all the time. Yeah. If there weren't, then, like, you would go through 1 year, and then there would be never any more flies. Like, there have to be some alive somewhere. But there's no, I don't know how any of it works. And
yeah, it's a lot of confusion.
And there's a lot of things that happen that then don't go anywhere or that seem like really serious and then just go away in the next scene. Like they have, I don't know, tar or like liquid evil or something in the toilets.
Yeah, it just looks
and
like
it's like
they
running
flushed it
everywhere.
Full of ink.
And then they,
oh, well, next scene.
Yeah. And then it's like there's no aftermath of it. There's no, like, they mop up the stairs or they never talk about it ever again.
No.
There's no, like, did it just go away? And even if it did just go away, that by itself is suspicious because they don't really believe in the evil yet at that point. Another Exorcist-related thing. The kid knows about it before anyone else.
Yeah.
The kid doesn't get taken over, but the kid is kind of talking to the spirit and it seems like things sometimes happen around the kid, like the babysitter.
Well,
which she's got weak knuckles because she starts to bleed on that door immediately.
Well, I don't know why you're pounding. Okay, so...
Also, the door does have a lock. He says there's no lock on this door. It's got a keyhole.
Yeah, therefore a lock.
You don't have a keyhole for no reason.
Like, it might not be like a switch lock, but, you know, it's still a keyhole for a lock. Now...
keyholes aren't just for peeking through.
That's right. There's no reason to use your knuckles on a door to the point that they bleed in that kind of situation. Like, it's a weak-ass door. If she's still wearing her shoes, she can just kind of kick at the bottom of the door. It'll still make noise. You can slap the door with the inside of your hand. Like, you don't have to beat your fist like that when you know it's not doing you any good.
And well, so, I understand that she's panicked.
Yeah, she is panicked.
But she gets panicked real fast. No, maybe she's claustrophobic or something and they don't tell us that.
Which,
although she
which
does...
That would be weak. It's like, oh, she suffered from this ailment that we didn't ever tell you about.
Well, we don't know her except for the preceding scene, that scene, and the next scene when they discover her because she's just the babysitter. And I think maybe that's part of why they make her really distinctive with the outside, the head braces and stuff, just so that she's memorable and distinctive because we don't have any time to get to know her.
Whenever she panics because the light goes off, like, I can understand
it does get worse,
but
at least.
It's like
she
panics before then.
She does, yeah.
And it's like, okay, I can understand you being angry and slapping and knocking and all this kind of stuff, but it's like, there's no reason to panic until the weird shit happens. And you know what? She never even said please.
She didn't, because she was just screaming. She also never peeked in the keyhole either.
Yeah.
which if she did, she could have seen that, like, the little girl was just sitting there not doing anything.
Which would have been even weirder.
It would have. Now, I'm not sure if maybe all of this similarity might be because it's stolen or like heavily influenced, because this novel came out like 5 years after the Exorcist novel. So, you know, so it's not just the movie came out about 5 years difference. It's both. So it could be that they were just like, I'll have that, and ripped it off significantly, because there's so much similarity, but also, like, we didn't land as positive on The Exorcist as people commonly do, or people did at the time. Although that is a difference, because people did like The Exorcist at the time. People did not like this at the time, but have since found it to be important in kind of the Chainsaw Massacre kind of way, where everybody thought this is dumb, it sucks, it's not made very well, it looks cheap. And then later on they realized, oh, it kind of helped invent this genre of movies, so it must be important. And so it retroactively became important.
Yeah.
Which this one kind of has too, but people didn't like it at the time. So it's not, I'm kind of not surprised. It's messy. Like, it's really messy. Even, like, The Exorcist was at least well constructed. There was a build to it. It we didn't find it especially scary, except in certain moments. But at least there was a decent structure to the story and characters and stuff.
Yeah, everything moved forward.
In this, it's kind of like, I mean, they start off right away with the original murder.
Now, how in the hell, even on a rainy, thundery night, do you not hear shotguns are loud?
Well, it doesn't seem like there are houses especially close, because the only time we ever even see a neighbor...
I'm not even talking about the neighbors. I'm talking about the
other
inside.
Family. Yeah, so once the first one gets murdered, then...
Yeah,
and you shouldn't just be able to go from bed to bed and murder them while they're still asleep.
Like, shotguns have distinctive sounds. No, they do not sound like thunder. And even if you were to kill, like, one of the parents first, how can you shoot one... Like, how can you shoot, like, your mom or your dad and the other one not know? Because there's an impact, and you're going to feel it through the whole bed.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have the sound and the heat. And it's just like, just watching it, just if we just heard it, I think it'd be more okay. But us watching it with the terrible edits and the inability to properly balance audio, like, it just kind of, it seemed unnecessary, extremely fake, and was just dumb.
Yeah,
they couldn't mix audio in this entire movie.
Well, there does seem to be a problem with these 70s movies a lot of times. It's not every movie, but we have come across it several times already just in going through these, where they put things in the center channel that aren't supposed to be there. They put things besides dialogue and dialogue related sounds, and they mix it louder in that channel than the dialogue. So when you have, like, everything is equalized and the volume is correct, then, and you can hear when people are talking, which was difficult sometimes in this, then it's not just when someone will scream, it's sometimes they actually put a sound there. And I guess they do it to be shocking, or I don't know if it's left over from... I mean, this is a total remix anyway, because originally this would have been in mono, probably, or maybe like three-channel Dolby Surround, which didn't have a dedicated center channel, depending on the theaters. And so it's not... There's no excuse for it, because what we heard is not the 70s mix of it. So somebody did this deliberately, and I don't care for it.
I outright dislike it.
No, I dislike it also.
Yeah, it's,
but it's not right. It's not how you're supposed to do things, and it's cheating. It's like they haven't really discovered how to really do a jump scare the way that they eventually did.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to use frequency to do it yet, or even to like make you uneasy because there's like a low frequency playing that you don't really notice, but it does this thing to your like your brain interprets it in such a way that it makes you uneasy, and so it sets you up to be jumpy. They do it a lot in trailers for horror movies, and not even just horror movies. They do it in a lot of stuff more than they do in actual movies, but they do it in actual movies too. And they haven't figured that out yet. So what they're doing is we'll put this in a place where it doesn't belong and we'll make it loud, and that will be shocking rather than it being shocking for any of the other reasons that normally you can use sound to be. And it has the opposite effect, because it's just it's distracting, and sometimes it's painful, and it doesn't even really make you jump because it made you scared the way it like a good jump scare does.
Yeah.
Even though good jump scare is rare enough that it almost seems like not how you what you, a phrase you should even use, because usually a jump scare in general is a cheat.
Yeah. Damn you, stupid cat.
Well, I guess the cat is probably the closest one to a legitimate one, although they do put the cat hiss or whatever in the center, which I don't know, maybe the cat's a character and so it can only hiss, it can't talk, and so that belongs there, but mixed loud.
Did the cat get paid?
Probably not. I really doubt it.
Hissing counts as talking. Hissing for counts, characters. Yeah.
There's this other thing that they do all the time that is, I guess, the closest thing to being like really legitimately uneasy, but I don't understand why it's happening, where they show close-ups of flies, like, a lot. And sometimes they're on people, sometimes they're just indeterminately on, like, existing.
Well, it's dumb. It's blurry. It's never explained.
Yeah, and I don't know what the point of the flies are. It doesn't come to anything. It's just like flies, you know.
And well, even whenever was it Greg or George? I don't fucking remember his name.
The husband?
Yeah, husband, who looked like the son that murdered the family.
Yeah, which, literally what? How?
Yes, my God.
I don't understand that one at all.
You have a spitting image of him. I'm sorry, I'll get you another beer.
Yeah. I mean,
I shat my pants.
He also looks a little like Kenny Loggins.
Yeah, he does.
So,
like a very gringy, not as in music, but as in
grungy.
Grungy, yes. Thank you, grungy. Grungy.
Maybe he is grungy. Like,
oh, I don't know. He's kind of cringy too.
He's kind of cringy.
Like, which I gotta stoke the fire.
I mean, it's
so cold in here for no unexplained reason. Because it feels like it's 30 here. It's like 70. I need more firewood. Don't sneak up behind a man with his axe.
Well, yeah. That's actually kind of,
I mean, that's,
the only
that's decent
legit
advice,
thing.
I guess.
Yeah,
like, don't sneak up on someone with an axe, sure.
Not so much that he might swing it at you, but if you scare him hard enough and he kind of throws a guy,
he might hurt
like,
you, he might hurt himself.
You come to the front, you jackass.
I understand most of the time his bad attitude is because he's being influenced by the spirit or whatever.
Yeah.
But he kind of, like, I don't understand why they're married. They don't seem to really like each other. Like, their relationship already seems a little bit strained to start with, because they're arguing about, like, money and stuff when they're in the attic of the house before they decide to buy it. And then even when they're just moving in and nothing's happened, he seems like, where are you going to hang this cross? Like, he doesn't even care, really. And it's too early. Like, there hasn't been any spiritness that we know of yet. So it doesn't seem like that counts.
Well, it's the only thing we get is we know that she has 3 kids before they got married.
Mm-hmm.
And that everything he's done kind of makes him feel like a not funny asshole.
Yeah.
And so when he does start doing things, you're not quite sure if this is just him being him.
Well, yeah, because that's the other thing is she doesn't react that surprised to it. She doesn't seem like she thinks it's that out of character for him. I mean, she's upset sometimes, or she's hurt by the things that he says, but she's never just like, what's wrong with you? Like, this is not you. This is not how you act. You've never acted like this before. What's going on? She never says anything like that. So it seems like he's sort of apt to these kinds of moods, maybe not chopping extreme amounts of firewood or freezing to death for no reason, but just the general anger and the dislike for the children, and it seems like those things have at least a basis in his normal himness, and they're just being amplified by the evil.
Now, I want to jump back a second because I wasn't finished, but him going into the library and stealing a book instead of just checking it out.
Why?
And there's
why
there's,
just check it out?
Yeah, and then there's like this, and I'm thinking, okay, because he's talking about flies, but he seems to know about flies already. And then we get this picture of what looks like a fly in the section that he grabs a book from, but I can't tell what the book's about. It just looks like one of those ivory white kind of books. And then he sticks it in his pants. And then like when we see him open a book, like the next thing they're talking about are like demons.
Yeah, I think it is the same book that he's looking at with the friend and the like new age girl.
Then why are the flies by? Like you'd think they'd be like in a section for biology or something. Like that he punches his friend. We don't even know who this person is other than they do business together.
Yeah.
What kind of business is it? It says
surveying. It says on the side of the truck. They never talk about it in the movie, but it says surveying on the side of the truck. So I think they're surveyors. But
no one talks.
No.
Like they say
no one
words.
Talks.
They say words, but no one actually does it. And if you've listened to us before, the thing I hate is whenever you know stuff and you don't ever say it to anybody. Like when the nun aunt comes over and then she immediately starts feeling ill, she doesn't say, oh, something is really, I stepped into your house. I feel terrible. I gotta go. And then she's like, I feel so bad, but I'm just going to drive off.
I've got to go. I can't stay. And she doesn't explain. I mean, I guess maybe she's like being squeezed by the evil and it's difficult to explain that, but.
Well, you don't have to say much. It's just, I felt fine. I walked in. Oh my God, I've got to go. That way you're just showing up and then you're leaving in a panic. You know, there was not enough said. Then the wife answering the phone.
Why does the phone even ring? Why does the evil let the phone ring if it's not going to let you hear?
It's more annoying. I don't even see how people can get scared whenever you get a phone call and then you go to answer it and then it just hangs up. That's annoying. That's not scary. Scary would be if, you know, she's like talking to somebody and then it goes staticky and then she hears somebody else's voice and it's like the whatever of the house.
Yeah.
Like then that would be scary. You know, like, what is the rule for the phone happening to be static? Is it just if she calls the church? Why doesn't she just fucking go to the church?
I don't know.
It takes her the entire movie, and we have, like, 10 minutes left, and then she goes to the church just to be like, I need to talk to Father so-and-so. And we got the guy, and he's like, yeah, he's on vacation. He's actually blind and sitting on a bench, and he won't say anything to me, even though he's got mail. None of this is important.
No, it's not at all.
Why? Like, it feels like I'm not going to read the book. I'm just not.
No.
And this movie alone, after having watched it, let's say I didn't know there was a book. All right. I only knew the movie.
Well, it doesn't matter that there's a book in any case, so.
Like, well, I'm just saying, like, I have known there is a book for this.
Yeah.
And this movie is based off of the book. And I haven't read the book. And now that I've watched the movie, watching the movie makes me not want to read the book. Because there's nothing outwardly good about this movie. The characters are dumb. The behavior is sporadic and unexplained.
Mm-hmm.
There's a ton of things in it that don't pay off. And even if you were like, well, this does happen in the book. Well, I'm sure there's something else in the book that helps it pay off. And if not, then it's probably not a very good book either. Like, there's just too many problems and not enough fixes. Like, why is he seeing some kind of red doggy looking demon? It looks like they stole the design from Ghostbusters,
even though I know they didn't. I'm just using that as an example.
It's like the dog. What's his face?
Dog?
The dog from the first one. Just shows up, like the evil dog thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, with the demon, whatever his name was.
Yeah. Well, the dog, Zool is not the dog, but Yeah, I can't remember. Yeah, I should remember, but yeah.
Like, it's like that kind of design, and it's just like red with glowy eyes. Even whenever the wife sees the glowy eyes outside of the window, she goes full panic mode, doesn't even take the daughter into her room. She just huddles up in her bed. The husband shows up and it's like, nah, it's probably a cat. Like, listen, I've seen cats. But I can't tell you anything because I'm still too scared to use words.
Yeah.
You know, I can understand this kind of happening every so often. Maybe this one character is the only one that can do it, but none of this. Like, the only normality. The only people that are normal in this movie are the two little boys. Nothing happens to them.
They don't care about anything.
Yeah. It's like, why is mom and George stupid? I don't know. But we look like monkeys in these suits.
Yeah, which they tied, apparently secretly, the just got married cans and stuff to the back of the car. But it was when the car was still parked at their house and they still had to drive to the wedding.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, like, they're going to realize it's not like you're supposed to do it like at the wedding, like right before they leave. So they get in the car and they're in a hurry and they don't have it doesn't make any sense to do it there. I guess they're kids and so they don't know better.
But like, why take the two little boys and not the girl?
I guess.
When you already have a babysitter?
I mean, they're a little older.
Not by much, though.
Yeah, not a lot. Yeah. They're still young.
I don't know. It's just
like the money disappears.
And it's not even we get to see, like, oh, the ghost or demon or whatever moves the money. It just vanishes. And then we get, like, a jump scare sound, and it cuts, like, to a close-up to the porcelain dragon thing.
Yeah, for I don't know why.
But yeah.
It doesn't seem related at all. I was surprised, though, because it seems like, oh, well, the house, like, there was a murder in the house, murders in the house,
mm-hmm.
and then the house is cheap, mm-hmm. and so they're looking at buying the house, and the realtor seems to be really overselling them, and so it seems like they don't know,
yeah.
but then they do know, because then they talk about it.
Yeah, they know about the murder.
And so that's odd that they know.
Well, I think it's... The difference would be the realtor has been in the house, so she can feel the creepiness,
I guess,
while they have not. But, you know, it's just like, oh, yeah, some people were murdered and we had it cleaned. And so that's why we're going to have the priest show up to bless the house afterwards.
Yeah, well, I think people do that anyway sometimes. Because, like, she's been Catholic and he's newly Catholic because of her, I think.
Yeah.
And she seems to be really Catholic because I guess her aunt's a nun. She has this giant statue of Mary in the bedroom.
Gigantic,
there's that cross
clearly.
That they hang on the wall. And she's wearing a cross necklace all the time.
I want a statue that size of Dibella for anybody who knows what Skyrim is.
Well, I think people know what Skyrim is. It doesn't mean that they know the names of characters. That's not what you said. People know what Skyrim is.
Isn't Skyrim one of the things? It's the where the sky and the ground and the horizon touch. It's the rim of the sky.
Uh-huh.
Grandpa, I love you.
Is that where the magic ice wall is at the Skyrim?
I thought that was at the north.
No, it's on every edge.
Because
north is in the center.
That's Game of Thrones.
No, not that one. The flat earth one.
Oh. Thought we were living on a turtle.
Well, no. Like, the earth... The turtle is under the earth. So the earth is whatever shape it is, and then it's turtles all the way down. So, like, we're not, like, on the literal surface of the turtle. The turtle's just holding us up in, like, an atlas kind of way. Allegedly.
Okay, so was the aunt supposed to be the family that was coming over to inspect the house?
I guess.
I thought there was supposed to be more family than that. Because, like, they make a comment about her brother's wedding.
Yeah.
But they weren't having the wedding at the house, so...
Yeah, no one came over but the brother.
That's what it looked like.
Yeah,
and then
we never saw
anybody
else.
Only person before that was the aunt.
The aunt, yeah.
And we only know she was an aunt because they said, oh, your aunt's going to be at the door. Be nice.
Yeah. And then it's a nun.
It's a nun.
Surprisingly. Like, oh. It's like, oh, okay. Your aunt's a nun. That's fine.
Okay. So the priest shows up to bless the house. And then he's like, I waited. Like, no, you didn't really wait. You just went.
No, he just starts creeping around.
You just went into the house, and I'm not gonna say you shouldn't have. You shouldn't have. But at the same time, like, once you went in and you noticed that the family was in the backyard, you could have just went straight to them.
Mm-hmm.
But you fucked around, and then
he gets out his blessing equipment. It seems he's just gonna go ahead and do it and not tell anyone he's there first.
No, you don't be doing that. That's silly. And then it's like they left on a boat. And then she has the gall to say, no, we waited around for him. Like,
You did not.
You left.
You left on a boat.
On a boat. We watched you do it. Lies.
And they weren't even in the house. They were like, they were in the house. And then she's like, why don't we have a couple of beers and play with the kids?
Yeah.
Which then turned into, we're going to leave on the boat.
Drinking and boating. Please don't.
Yeah, you're not supposed to do that.
Yeah. Game warden to come find you and give you a ticket and all that other kind of shit.
I mean, who knows?
I ain't got the money to pay for a ticket, so I ain't going to be in a boat and drinking. Unless if I own the pond and I know there's no game warden around. Because I own the pond.
Boating in a
pond.
But
then again, like, why am I... Yeah, I say exactly.
Why are you boating in a pond? Why would you do a fool thing like that?
Drugs.
I thought we were drinking. On the boat in the pond.
Obviously,
when did the drugs come out?
Whenever they made this movie.
Okay, I guess.
So we talked about the money. Why was the cater not paid up front? What kind of catering service is this?
Is kind of like, wants cash at the wedding.
You pay your cash up front or something? Like, okay, because I'm not from the 70s, so I don't know if that is was that a common thing? Like,
I don't
like
know.
People just kind of had enough trust between each other and the hippies. To be like, oh, well, it's okay. You can pay me during or after the service is complete because I don't take money up front. Like, was that a thing? I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe don't use a caterer who only takes cash.
Yeah, like how the...
And we meet him at the wedding, and he's like kind of gangster seeming. He's kind of unpleasant, and he's kind of sketchy, and he talks to himself a lot about the not getting cash, and...
And he's just mumbling that shit when he's leaving. But
then he pays him with a check.
Yeah.
And then it bounces apparently, which
I don't know why.
I don't know. I mean, it seems like he's just not doing any work because of the evil or something. Because then the guy comes to meet him and says, I got a call from this. I got a call from them. I got a call from those guys. I got a call from this people. And like, they're all like, they want money. And
well, no, like if you remember when the guy shows up at the house, and he's saying all of these bad things. He's talking about how these payroll checks need to be signed.
Yeah.
So that means that there's people under the employment.
Yeah, which, how many people does it take to run a survey company?
You survey more than one place.
Well, but they don't seem to be a big deal. They're like worried about spending this money on the house and then...
Well, the company's not buying
the
house.
I mean, they seem to not... Well, no, but it's his company, right?
It doesn't matter. Just because you have the company and your company money and your money, you got to keep separate.
It doesn't seem like he has any money of either kind, though.
Exactly. And that's the thing that kind of gets me. It's like, how is this guy? How do you have this? And how do you have that? Like, none of this makes any sense. Like, no one seems to be responsible in any capacity. And I'm not going to blame the children because children are normally dumb anyways. But I don't like the idea of children going into the basement for anything ever. Like, I would never send kids... Like, if I have a basement and I have kids who are under the age of 10, I would never send them in the basement for something. Because I don't trust kids in the basement to not break stuff because I'm going to put stuff in the basement that's breakable.
Well, I've never had a basement, so...
Well...
Well, did they send the kids to the basement ever? Or did the kid just, like, wander down there?
The kid just fucking went into the basement.
That George was there.
And that's then it's like, okay, so it's not because it's a safety thing, because what does the kid do? Takes two steps and we don't know why. But at the same time, the kid falls, the light bulb breaks. They don't touch each other.
No, I think it's the evil. Probably yeah. It's supposed to be.
And then you got the kid who just slides right down the steps.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, what if the kid hurt himself?
Which, that's the only time that George is nice to anyone.
Yeah.
Because he's just like, oh, he picks him. He's not like, what are you doing in the basement, you stupid kids? Like, he is the whole rest of the movie. Anytime he has to interact with the kids at all.
These kids need to be disciplined.
Which, she was angry with the babysitter also. Or no, not the babysitter. The daughter. Because she let the babysitter be trapped. So that time they agreed. But normally he just shouts at the children and... She just doesn't say much at all.
Okay, so we already covered that note. And then we got the bib. Oh, yeah, the babysitter didn't say please. How can you not do that kind of shit? Just say please. Oh, yeah, that's the note where the husband's finally trying to do something, so he gets on the motorcycle and leaves. Okay, so he grabs a tube.
I didn't know he had a motorcycle before then.
Like, neither did I. Maybe suddenly, he stole it.
Suddenly motorcycle.
He had money that he didn't say he had. He bought a motorcycle. Who knows? Who knows at this point?
I knew there was a boat.
What is the tube that he leaves the first building with? Because he gets on the motorcycle at home. Uh-huh. He drives to a location. Every shot that we have of him seems like where the sergeant... Not like a detective, but it's like the actual sergeant.
Yeah.
Who's, for some reason, staking out their house.
Well, it's another Exorcist lift.
Yeah.
You got the detective that doesn't really come to much.
But it's not even a detective. It's the sergeant. Like, well, you have work to do.
I mean, he seems to be in charge of the case or something, but...
And then he leaves the first building. Okay, we don't know what that building is, but now he has a tube. I wouldn't know what the tube is. Because the tube never comes to anything.
No.
Like, was it supposed to be, like, blueprints for the house that they bought or something? Because maybe he wants to know what's in the basement.
Was he actually doing work?
Yeah, maybe. But, you know, that's...
Is it a piece of the internet? I'm not sure.
Well, we're going to need more tubes.
Yeah. Can't make the internet with just one tube.
Okay, so because of the tube and maybe the blueprints and maybe the basement shit, because... There's a bricked off wall, which is a really up to date looking bricked off wall. Like, it doesn't look old.
It doesn't look like the rest of the basement either.
Exactly. So it's like it stands out. How does the dog keep getting in the house after? Because he's like, we see.
Well, not even just the house, but in the basement. There's a door.
And it's like,
maybe the evil lets him in.
Well, we see the dog be chained to the outside of the house. I'm like, okay. Yeah. The evil unchains it. Okay. Yes. Okay. We'll stretch it. Evil politely opens the door and then closes the front door to let the dog in. We're going to tear it off later in the movie, but that's fine.
Yeah.
And then there's the basement door.
Which we're also going to tear off.
And we're going to tear it off too. The dog's going to go into the basement and it's going to scratch at the bottom of the wall. I don't know why it's scratching at the
bottom
of the
wall. Until it bleeds.
Until the dog's paws are bleeding, which is sad.
It is sad.
That's not nice. And then it's like, but sometimes it's like, I don't want to scratch at the wall.
Yeah.
I sense a, cut it out!
And then it stops for like 10 seconds and then goes right back to scratching.
But why? And then the husband comes back with one of the guys he works with and then the wife of the guy who senses the evil of the house because she's sensitive to things like that, which I'm fine. I'm fine with that. That's like a character trait. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Her character doesn't really do anything other than this one thing, and that it works. I have no problem with it. They go into the basement.
Uh-huh.
Because I can feel the evil is coming from the basement. It's this wall. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's this wall. The dog's clawing at it, and it's bleeding, which is like a not normal response. You're not telling me anything new. Yeah, there's got to be a pickaxe. I'm going to tear the wall down. What are you doing to my house? I've got to tear the wall down. It's the evil.
Which?
I'll do it for you. And then the wife comes down. And they tear it down. And it looks like there's going to be a person. Like, it looks like there would be like a little girl standing on the other side. Because we get these little glimpses.
Yeah.
We get these glimpses. And it looks like there's an actual person in a red room. A brick room that's painted red.
Red room.
Red man. That's like the finger thing. Everybody bend your index. And bam, red man. And then it just cuts back and forth. And you think, this is going to be some crazy shit. We're going to actually see the ghost of the little girl or something that keeps talking to the other little girl. Maybe it's actually going to be their daughter. Who knows? Crazy shit. And then it's just kind of like...
Nah.
it looks like a dude in a black robe with like a face that kind of looks like George, but yeah, I'm not really sure. Yeah. And it's just, he just fades off and what? And then they act like nothing happens and they just leave.
Well, yeah, because I'm not sure how, if they all saw like floating hologram George or just George.
Yeah.
Because it's not clear. But also, he should be way more freaking out.
Yeah.
Because
none of the, what is
everything to that point is
what?
I mean, because before then he's various people are trying to justify what is going on by normal means, like, oh, it's an old house, you know, there's a draft, you know, the plumbing might be bad, you know, there's the then when the doors blow off, they can't explain that. But like, you can't explain like floating hologram George head.
No.
By normal means. Like, that's not normal. You should freak out.
Yeah.
As much as she freaks out by not being able to hear anything on the phone, like, now you should freak out. This is serious. This is not normal. This does not happen.
Like, this is a moment in time for a movie where I would not say anything if everyone began panicking.
Yeah.
Because, yes, it is now,
now
okay to panic.
Now is the time to panic.
Yes, now is the time to panic. And then,
now is the perfect time to panic!
Now we're good. Like, yeah, no. The toilet had, like, the black ink overflow through, like, the upstairs. And there's the weird draft that no one can explain from the basement that's coming from the wall that's been bricked off.
So she says, I think it's coming from that door. Which then he does look at a door, which he does not open, but and is not part of the stone wall that's closing up the red room. So I guess there's basement access from outside also?
Well,
we're never shown it or told about it.
The only basement
access
we have are the windows.
Yeah, the windows. Because that's then the police say the windows are all still closed.
Yeah.
And they're not broken, so they don't know how someone got into the basement.
Like, what if someone snuck in and then and they were going to escape? And it's like, really?
Like, it's going to be easier and faster just to break all the doors off in your way instead of just opening them?
Yeah, which they know is not what happened. Because at that point, they're still kind of in disbelief. It seems like
a
little bit unreasonably. I mean, it's not as unreasonable as when it's floating hologram George, but they heard the doors explode off. Like, they heard it. It happened. It was major. It was dramatic.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't a burglar breaking out, you know, even though burglars break in, not out, the police say.
They escape.
They escape, yeah. I do like, he comes up, the sergeant comes up to the house and asks the, like, regular officer that's coming out of the house, what happened? And he says, beats the hell out of me. There's no information or help at all.
This is above my pay grade.
You figure it out.
Yeah, I'm done. best character right there. Unnamed police officer.
Unnamed police officer, yeah.
We salute you. Lord. Okay, so a husband man wakes up at 3:15, like every night, and doesn't even say anything. It's like, honey, I'm tired. I keep waking up at 3:15 every night, and I don't know why. It's exactly 3:15 every night.
They never
night.
Discuss it.
No, because they don't even talk to one another. It's like,
no, that's what I mean. I don't know why they're married. I don't know.
Hey, baby, show me them titties.
Yeah, well, they do it early on in, like, the most PG possible way. Like, it's all in, like, fades, and we just have this vague impression that he's on top of her, which at least, for all of the, like, excessiveness of the doing it in Slipmouth Woman, at least it was varied. Like, sometimes he was on top, sometimes she was, sometimes they kissed for a while. They did different things. In this, it's like we get, like, six different passage of time fades while they do it, and nothing changes. It's just like he's just laying on top of her, they're kind of kissing. Like, they don't have any excitement or variance at all.
You forgot, they're Catholic, so they only have sex in the missionary position for the sole act of procreation.
He's newly Catholic, though. You can procreate in many positions.
Oh, yeah.
As long as it's in, it can happen. So that doesn't.
I had to throw in the Catholic joke. In
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
Apologies.
Mm.
Or am I?
The most exciting thing about them doing it is that they're doing it in a room with gold vein mirrors.
Oh,
which I
like, my God, so much.
Like, I know they're totally out of style now and people hate them and they take them out of their houses because they're dated. But like, they're like,
their
I like them so much.
But
well,
again,
I mean, at
like
some
the,
point,
the,
I guess she dated because
no,
she met your dad.
No, damn it. I'm trying to tell old people jokes here, too.
No,
it's like she's dated. But oh, wait, you did take her out of the house because now she's in a nursing home. Ha ha. Dated jokes. You're welcome.
You're not welcome.
No. Okay. So it looked like they had like a shower curtain, but I guess,
think it's just the curtain.
I guess
because it's on the wall. That's
yeah.
the outside wall.
And it looks marble. Like, it looks like it's, like, fake
the
marble.
Curtain, yeah.
And I'm like...
No, I don't think it is. I think it's because we only ever see it reflected in the gold vein mirror. So we don't have a clear view of the curtain really ever.
Oh, no, but, like, I guess that is kind of cool. Like,
they kept the lamp. Like, I know that the realtor said, you see something you like, add it to the price. Just keep it. Which is weird, first of all, because don't you have your own things? But
I would ask her if I can keep the bones.
And I don't think the house got to keep the bones. They cleaned it up, remember?
It's like, hey, can I keep the bones? And then she just looks like in terror. Yeah, preferably one of the children. See if we can knock another 5,000 off of this bitch.
Mm-hmm. Which. I mean,
remember,
I know
we
there's
got
like
sales tax to pay.
I know that's New York. I guess there is state sales tax. There's. I know that there's like a boat landing and there's a gardening. What she calls like a gardening like hut or something,
so,
but then
yeah,
says
a garden shack.
You can turn it into a guest house, so it's like a significant garden shack. And then there's the house that has like three floors and an attic
and a basement.
And gold vein mirrors and a basement. And there's all this land. There don't seem to be any neighbors around.
$80,000.
$80,000 in 79. Still seems like an expensive house.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's cheap for that much house.
Or maybe for just that area in general. I mean, because.
Well, it's like, it's New York State, but it's not like New York.
Yeah.
And so I don't know.
City.
I couldn't say it. If I did, I'd have to say the rest of it. I didn't want to right now. I'm not sure, because remember, like I've said recently, I don't know offhand the
inflation
calculation
price,
from the 70s, but I'm going to check it, because this is more significant than whatever we were
bitching
suspicious about the last time.
All
because
right.
It's like, this seems like, it at the same time seems... expensive for the 70s, but also cheap for that size of house. But all he says is like it would be like $130,000 or something if the people hadn't been murdered. So it doesn't seem like it's cheaper, but it's not like cheap. So there's not that much difference in the price. But also, she's like, $80,000. Like, can we afford $80,000? And he's like, I can have the office here and not have to rent the office anymore. But then, because we never see him do any work, it doesn't matter because he's being made not to work by the evils. So let's see. This is 70. Well, wait. It's made in 79. It doesn't take place in 79, right? Because it takes place in like 75 or something, because it's when the book came out.
Probably.
Yeah, 75. Okay, so in 75, it's in the fall somewhere. November, we'll say. Or no, it is December, right? I think it's December. And it's $80,000. Right. Yeah, $80,000. Is a little over 360. It's a little over $360,000. So that still seems not amazingly expensive for as much house and property and stuff as it is.
Yeah, I'm saying, because like, even by today's standards, like, how much do you think that'd cost?
I don't know. I mean, it seems like more than that, probably.
I mean, because like, I would say it'd have to be at least over a mil, easy.
Probably. It seems more expensive than like 3.6 thousand, like 100,000. Like, it's not.
Like, even for the 70s, just hearing it just be 80,000, like, it felt extravagantly cheap, not just for the area or period of time, but just compared to now.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so it's been like,
because I don't know anything about the real estate in the area.
But that's insane. Like, that's less than 100,000. That's just outrageous for me. So I just like, I just got sucked in on that.
It hasn't been 50 years.
I'm just saying. Like,
right. Life is not 50 years. Or is it? No, it's not.
It's almost 2020.
That's, I guess so.
Like 40. But yeah. I'm just saying, like, you could watch this and it'd be this, in 10 years, it'd be the same thing now. But just like, some of that pricing is ridiculous. I just, whatever.
It's also the only thing we ever hear have money, well, except for the $1,500 it costs to cater, which I don't know what it costs to cater a wedding now. We don't really see that much of the wedding, so we don't know how many people are there.
I know, because like that's one of those things, like, there's just too much variation.
The wedding doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't.
At all. Like, it doesn't matter. The only reason that it matters is because the money disappears, and so it's another act of evil, and then it's something for him to get angry and, like, kick the furniture around for when he finds the empty currency band under the chair, which they didn't see before because they didn't really look under the furniture. Didn't seem like...
I actually have a thing for that one. Okay. So
I don't know how the money would have got under the furniture, but
Well, all right. So here's the deal. You have the kid and he keeps counting this money over and over and over. Like, he's,
yeah. And then he wants her to count the money. Yeah. And
I don't understand that. Like,
I don't know. You count the money, you know how much money.
Let me finish. Because he's counted it like 15 times. We get to see him count it three times. Three times! Us! It's ridiculous! And then he just takes it, and after his big sister calms him down, he puts it in his coat pocket. Now, personally, I don't like putting things in my coat pocket if I'm not wearing the coat. It's one of those things where, like, I use my pockets actively. And so, like, I would put it in my pants pockets, obviously, because I'm still wearing my pants. If I'm not wearing pants, I probably won't put him in my pants pocket until after I put the pants on. It's a habit. So I'm not blaming him as much as it's just like, well, I mean, I know I wouldn't have done that out of
habit. He doesn't walk away from the coat, really. He doesn't leave the coat someplace.
So,
and
I'm not,
like, money doesn't disappear from coat pockets normally. So
I'm not going to beat him up for that. But it's just, it felt weird to me because it's something I know I wouldn't do. But in the past, I sat on a couch once, and I like gaming. I play games all the time if I can help it. And I bought a Nintendo 3DS shortly after they came out. It was one of the small black ones because I didn't want the red one. I think it was red. I don't give a shit. It was black. And
just the one that you like bought like just outside of the, like, you could get the cheap price for it because they would let you upgrade from a DSi or whatever.
No, it was the one where it's like it was like out for a few months and then they did the price drop on it. And you could either pay full price and get like 20 games or you could get to take the reduced price. I'm like, those games are shit. I'm going to play Ocarina of Time. And like, I bought it, didn't have a case for it yet, just carrying it. I sat it on the couch, and it slipped in between the cushions of the couch.
Yeah, into my couch.
Yeah, into his couch.
And it took us, like, 20 minutes to find it, because it, like, laid right up. Like, it was dark inside the couch, of course, because there's no light inside of couches. And it just laid right up against this beam and just looked like it was part of the beam. We couldn't find it.
Yeah, and it's like, because, you know, normally you on a couch, you would just have cushions, and then there would be, like, a layer that you just put the cushions on top of. But this couch didn't work like that, because it, like, had, what, like, a recliner piece to it or whatever. And so, it, like, it slipped in, and it fell all the way to the floor. And the beam was just, like, this wooden cross-row section that just covered, like, the three portions of the couch. There was the front, the back, all that. And it was laid, like, perfectly upright right beside it. So, like, it didn't matter, like, what I did to dig around. Like, we had to lift.
Yeah, we lifted the couch, and then it fell out.
And I'm like, there it is. And I can understand, like, he's got to get married, all that kind of business. I don't know why he's the one specifically responsible for paying for the caterer. He thinks, from what I am used to, it is the wife's family who is responsible for taking care of the wedding. I know it's not everything and everybody. Typically. It did, you know, you can do what you want to do. But that's what I'm used to.
That's the traditional thing. Yeah. Except I think the groom's cake, I think the groom's family pays for. But everything else is usually the bride's family.
And so I can understand him paying for something, but not directly. Like, here's my money. I'm giving it to you because it's your responsibility. Here you go. And so seeing him kind of deal with it, like.
Do we even see his wife?
No. Well, like, no, we do see it when he dances with her.
Okay. Yes.
And that's it.
That's it. Yeah.
No, and then that's the end of it.
She's not a character.
No. Okay, so we get the very end of the movie. Thank God. And he's got to go back for the dog.
Uh-huh.
And I'm okay with this. Are you okay with this?
I'm okay with this, yes.
Okay, good.
I would go back for, I wouldn't have left the dog in the first place, is the thing. I would have had to go back for the dog. Because they're all getting in the car, and I'm like, the dog.
Yeah.
Get the dog. Where's the dog?
Yeah.
Did you forget about the dog? Did the kids forget about the dog? Do you remember that you have a dog? Where's the dog? Get the dog.
How do you still let the dog into the basement?
I mean, I understand this evil happening, so maybe you're not thinking clearly, but dogs are important.
Yeah. And so he goes straight to the basement because for some reason he absolutely knows where the dog's at.
Well, it's been there a lot lately.
Yep. But he goes to it. Open. He goes to it and then he falls right into the stairs just collapse on him.
Yeah. It's
cliche.
And he falls into...
I guess it's not cliche yet because this movie's old and therefore things come after it.
I'm not sure.
But like...
I don't know that this is the first time someone fell through stairs.
Yeah. But it's just like, ugh, really? He's got to fall into like what is looks like a vat of blood or something.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, this is dumb. And then he's like sticks his hand out and the dog just bites him. And I'm like, oh,
yeah. Well, it looks like blood when he falls into it, but then when he's coming out of it, it's like darker and it's like sticking to him. And so I think it's like the liquid evil from the toilet. And like evil dogs,
toilet liquid.
Dogs can be sensitive to very minor changes in people that they're otherwise very secure with. Like one time, like my dad went into the backyard with his motorcycle helmet on, and it was like one of the bubble face shield ones that's, you know, it's like midway point between like it doesn't have a back on it and then like a whole like helmet.
Yeah.
So it's, I guess maybe it is 3/4, but it doesn't have anything fixed on the front, so you can put whatever you want on the front.
Yeah.
And he had a clear like bubble like a bubble front on it that he had to like special order. And so it's clear. You can see his face.
Yeah, but
you can't see the sides of his head.
Thing.
You see the face. And he went into the backyard, and my dog was back there, and he just started just like growling and like being like, it's the only time I've ever seen him act like that. He never was like that aggressive or mean or threatening to anyone. But he was like that time, because it was just different enough that there was something suspicious, and he didn't realize that it was dad. So I guess if your owner as a dog is covered in liquid evil and you can't really see them, then maybe being aggressive is not outside what you would do.
Mm-hmm. And then
he does calm down.
It does. But it seemed, how can I put this? If you're not paying attention, it doesn't look like the dog did anything different. It just looks like they took some ADR and just had the guy say, yes, keep pulling. Because that's like he just falls in and the dog bites
the dog
him.
Pulls him
and
out
then like the dog
somehow.
Helps pull him out, and it's like, what?
I mean, it's a decent sized dog, but it seems like if the dog is biting hard enough to pull you out of a thing, then I don't know.
Like if it was one of the kids or something, totally on it. I can believe that 100%. But it's like the grown man, the whole thing is it. How deep is that hole? Like there's some stuff that
as deep as the room,
like,
I guess.
Like, what is this?
But also the room is open now.
Yeah.
So is the whole basement filled with like liquid blood evil or what?
No,
it doesn't look
like. See, it's like the stairs were the roof of the room.
Yeah.
So when he fell in, like the floor of the red room is the same as the floor of the basement.
Yeah.
There was just a hole in the floor of the red room. So the hole that of evil, the hole of liquid evil, goes deeper than what the basement floor is.
Okay.
Because, like, the dog is still in the basement. And his hand comes out, and you can see, like, all of the rock. Like, or the brick or whatever from where they broke it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where part of my you pull me kind of thing. He's like, he could just grab the brick. It's right there.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't see this hole earlier, but he just falls to the steps, and now he's in the hole. And the dog's biting and pulling, and he could just pull himself out. It's right there. He's got a hand grip. Pfft, done.
Yeah. I mean, the hole wasn't there earlier because they keep cutting to it, like breaking up and opening like it's like lava coming out or something. But it could have been there, and they would not have known because they don't really investigate the Red Room at all. They, like,
or
they
anything.
See, like, floating George hologram. But there's, like, they look into the room, but it goes off to the side.
Yeah.
Like a ways.
If you're looking into it, it goes to the left.
And no one ever looks in and, like, looks over there. They never stick their head in and take a look. So we don't know what's over there.
Hmm. Yeah, so, and then he picks the dog up and they get out, and that's perfectly fine.
And they run through the rain.
I do like that the door, like, closes on him, so he just, like, fuck it, I'm gonna break a window. Because I was thinking that. I'm like, just go out the window, man. At this point, you got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
Except the house, but, you know, I'd already catch that motherfucker on fire. But I have one last note before I have closing statements. The part of the storytelling issue is the passage of time within each day. Because as the days pass, like, we get a little time card that says, oh, it's the so-and-so-th day. It's the fourth day.
Yeah, and the day of the week.
Yeah, and I'm like, I think that's fine, because that does kind of help place us where we're at within the timeline. And
because otherwise, we don't know.
Exactly. But the events that happen throughout the day, I don't know how much time passes, because they're going through the house earlier in the movie, and the wife has the silver cross or whatever.
Yeah.
And she's... cleanse this house.
It's upside down on the wall, and they just freak out.
Yeah. And it's like, she's going through all of this, and then she just gets, like, magic boils on her hand. And then she's like, she just, oh no, I'm totally done. Don't look at me. And it's like, shouldn't that mean that this is kind of working and you need to keep doing it because this is evil? That's okay. She's like, what is this?
Yeah,
because then it's like,
no, don't use the cross.
And then it's like that night, and they're just like, here, let's cuddle in bed. Talk to me. Like, you didn't want to...
Yeah, and he doesn't, because he's asleep, except he's not.
Yeah.
Although, I'm not sure if he was asleep, and then he woke up because now it's 3:15, or if he was just ignoring her evil reasons.
Well, that's one of the things, is because there's that weird edit cut where, like, it looks like he gets up at 3:15, he goes and does this stuff, and then she wakes up from a nightmare, and then he's still there. So... was she dreaming that he got up at 3:15? Because if that's the case, then that means he didn't get up at 3:15 like he had been.
Oh, yeah, because there's also the, like, he axes her to death nightmare, which doesn't happen. Or the kid, I guess it's the kid, right?
Yeah, like, she kills the daughter.
Yeah, and he's holding the axe, and she's like, no! And then he goes, shh! And then she wakes up.
Yeah. So, like, there's a lot of inconsistencies within, like, time. Like, how can you explain this and then hit this and then that happens? And, you know, it's like, it was dark and it's still dark and you're talking about going out and it's like 11. Are restaurants even open? Like, because it's not like they're not.
It's only like 7 or something, because we do get a glimpse of a clock, I think. I remember thinking, how late is it? And then we found out.
Yeah. Okay.
I think.
Okay. What bit his leg? Was it supposed to be like the dragon statue possessed? Because that would be kind of cool. Because for some reason the porcelain dragon statue is like on the floor and not like on something, and it does have teeth that could have been used, but they didn't have any blood on it, and they already did like a close zoom in on it whenever the kid lost the money.
Yeah, which is the money in the dragon? I don't. Uh-huh. Is that their dragon? Did they add that to the price? I don't know.
Little stuff like that. Yeah.
So how do we feel about stars?
2. A very weak ass. Almost a 1. If it didn't have, like, good-ish cinematography, I would have had to say a one.
Yeah.
Because that's the only thing keeping this from being terrible.
The music is pretty good. And it's Lyle Schifrin, which makes sense that it's good.
I mean, if they could actually mix it properly.
Yeah, well, usually the music is in the proper channels, but...
I'm sorry, I can't hear it over everything being overimposed on him. I but no one understands. It needs subtitles, please.
Yeah, it's not worth more than that. So yeah, two. What about scariness?
I'm also going to give this a two. Because it's pretty low, but I kind of like the mixture of the axing the kid as a dream, and then like seeing the demon thingy in the window while he has the axe and he's outside and he goes into the room because he's like, it's up there. Like, I felt like that was interesting attempts at being scary. Because like the doors opening and closing kind of thing doesn't feel scary. It just kind of feels like, oh, well, this is a representation to let you know there is something here that are messing with forces.
Yeah.
Like, okay. That's nice. And then the toilets with the black water, that does kind of bother me. Just a tad bit.
Yeah. Yeah, it is uncomfortable when it happens, but then because it doesn't go anywhere, then it kind of takes away from it.
I mean, like, if I was to flush my toilet and, like, all of the water is black, and then I'm like, and I go and flush another toilet and it doesn't say, I'm calling the realtor.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to sell me a house that's going to flush black water. Yeah. Like, it's not like it's dark water. It's black.
Yeah. And this is black water, not black water. Like, yeah. Black water is not on your toilets. Like, that's a whole different set of problems. But...
At that point,
I mean, I feel like that's probably worse.
Yeah,
like,
at that
if
point,
you flush the toilet, like black water starts coming out, like then that's yeah, that's really serious.
You need to just keep
like,
the ghost.
Like, yeah, I think like liquid evil is less concerning because at least it can come out of a toilet reasonably than like a bunch of soldier dudes just coming out of the toilet.
Nope, I'm
I don't
gone.
Even know how that even works.
Science.
It is kind of a shame because when the priest comes in and he's getting the and the flies like start to gather and like the music is kind of creepy and he starts like feeling the evil presence, like that starts to be effective and it's uneasy and it's creepy and you're like, ooh, what's happening here? But then it never gets there again.
Mm-hmm. Like we get like another scene where there's like a ton of flies, but it doesn't pan out to be anything other than, like, I woke up in the middle of the night, and then I could hear a noise, so I went to a room, and the window was open, and I tried to close it, and there was all these flies, and then something happened, and I turned around, and all the flies are gone. And it's like, oh, that's weird, but it's not scary, because nothing actually scary happened.
Well, and the scene itself breaks before the end of the scene, because the flies are building on the outside of the window.
Yeah.
And then suddenly they're inside when the window is still closed and there's no explanation. And so that feels like cheating. And so then it's like, wait, how did the flies get in the room?
Yeah.
So it lessens itself before it ends. And then it is kind of goofy where the voice like just tells him to get out.
Yep.
Like that. So,
so it
I don't know. I mean, if we're doing itself. The like peak scariness thing, I think maybe that the scene before it killed itself would maybe was, I don't know. It might have made it to three, I guess. I'll say that. But that's like the most there ever is. And then everything else is lesser. The toilets almost get there and then they turn out to be of no consequence. And so then they cease to be.
All right. So. It can't rain forever. And when it dries up, I'm going to burn that fucking house down. Every bit of it. Like, I'm going to drop the kids. I'm going to drop my wife off. I'm going to call my buddies up and I'm going to be like, listen, it's going to be incredibly stupid, but I have a solution to some of my financial problems. And I'm going to need your help. I'm gonna need some gasoline, a lot of gasoline. Do you know anybody who has explosives? We're gonna blow the fuck out of my house, and then try to claim house insurance. and then hopefully not get caught for fraud.
Yeah.
Insurance fraud.
Yeah.
And then the house has got to go. Basement, all, everything. Just burn it down.
Well, I mean, I guess that's assuming that that will stop the evil. Because if the house is evil because the house is built on the ground that was evil because of ye old burial ground and whatever his name Ketchum was, then maybe it doesn't help.
Yeah.
It's just the land is evil, but...
Well, we have this being one of the, three movies?
It's something that, like that. Yeah, I think deals... it's like three in the remake.
No, I'm not talking about Amityville. I'm talking about for us this month. We have three movies that deal with ish house, ish spirits, ish. And regardless, in
what
each...
Exorcist, Haunted Mansion, in this?
No, Exorcist, the house wasn't important. I'm talking about Poltergeist. Because, like, all that stuff happens in the house.
Well, we haven't done Poltergeist yet.
I know we haven't got... I'm just saying. We got three, and this is number one. And in each one, burning the house would be my first solution.
Wait, what do you mean it's number one?
This would be the first house one.
Oh.
Or burning the house might be a solution. So that's what I want to go for first. And then in Poltergeist, I'd burn the house down.
Okay, so it's not a solution in Haunted Mansion, but that's the first
one. Oh, no, I wouldn't burn the house down in Haunted Mansion. No, like, that shit, we're in Ghost. Like, because, like, half of them ain't doing nobody no harm.
Yeah.
The house isn't what, you know, the bad stuff.
No, the butler's bad.
Yeah, we got to get rid of his ass. And they did. Straight to hell. But, yeah, Amityville Horror, Poltergeist, and Ju-On.
So that's all we have to say about the Amityville Horror. We'll see you next time.
Later. And if you like this movie, that's perfectly fine. But I would recommend that you rewatch it, pay really close attention, and tell yourself what is about it that you like. I mean, if it's like a nostalgia thing, I think that's okay. Because nostalgia don't make a movie good.
Stephen King once wrote that nightmares exist outside of logic, and there's little fun to be had in explanations. They're antithetical to the poetry of fear. In a horror story, the victim keeps asking why, but there can be no explanation, and there shouldn't be one. The unanswered mystery is what stays with us the longest, and it's what we'll remember in the end.
I kind of disagree with that. Not completely, but, you know, you can't use that for everything and it be good. Especially if you look at Stephen King's track record.